Yesterday, I spent about 2 hours with Narayan Srinivas Prabhu going through his manuscript for his book, Long Live the Lord. The concept of the book is excellent, and the execution is also in many ways excellent, but linguistically, there are problems. He's been through three editors, and including one professional editor, and there are several accolades. What's that word? Reviews. Highly favorable reviews from eminent personalities in the Sri Sampradaya praising the book. And so overall, there doesn't seem to be much problem in the minds of the various learned persons who've been through it. But I, Bhakti Vikas Swami, I went through it, and I was randomly going through the manuscript for about 2 hours, and practically at every moment I was finding problems. So I'm making this recording now to just point out some of them, because Narayan Srinivas plans to send this manuscript to Mataji, whose name I don't remember just now, the wife of Korma Prabhu, who is the author of an excellent book of Srila Prabhupada in the South Seas, Australia, New Zealand, the Great Transcendental Adventure. She's a professional editor. And the main purpose of my making this recording is for her to decide whether or not she wants to take up further editing based on what I'm going to say next. My reasoning is that although Narayan Srinivas Prabhu says it's as far as he can go with it, he's done the best he can to the best of his ability, we should understand that writing about Krishna and for Krishna is like an act of worship. And we really have to make a great effort to do it in the best possible way. Of course, you could go in your whole lifetime making improvements on a manuscript, and that has to stop at some point. But as I'll point out here, there are many points which require improving. He feels he's done the best he can, and people like it, and it can be published like this. But I'm saying, no, don't publish it at this level. It has to come to a better level. Even if people like it, it doesn't necessarily mean that they will get from it as much as they could get from it if you did your work more. You say, well, I'm old, it's not my first language, but Krishna is the ability in man, and you can do better. We also want to have high standards of writing for Krishna. If we don't do anything for Krishna, we should do it as best we can. I gave the example that it's an act of worship. Well, offering arati is a fairly, the procedures of doing that are fairly simple. So maybe it's not. If we think of an act of worship, you compare that to offering arati, the procedures are fairly simple. The procedures of good writing, it's not very simple. It may take practice. You can give the example of cooking. If you want to, you may have a very strong desire to cook for Krishna. If you don't know how to do it very well, then you might just cook for yourself. Or just cook an amount for Krishna that you can take yourself or for a small group of people. But if you want to cook for a large group of people, you should take time, be trained, and then endeavor to cook for large numbers of people. prasadam that will be offered to Krishna. So in the same way, if we're going to write letters to individuals or to a few people, that's one thing. But if we're going to publish books that are meant to be perpetuated and to go to thousands of people, it should come to a good standard. Now, as I'm going to point out, there are many things that can be done just to bring it even to a passable standard, even in terms of basic punctuation. All right, I'll get on with what I'm talking about now. All right, I just have a page in front of me randomly, page 36. I just now saw on page 36 in the PDF file of Long Live the Lord, the version I have. I see Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme is with a capital S, as it should be. Godhead is with a capital G, as it should be. P is with a lowercase p, which it shouldn't be. There are many such things throughout the text. For instance, a word with no space, then an M dash, then a space, then the next word. It's not according to any style that this can be done. Generally, an M dash doesn't have, between words, doesn't have any space. But if you're going to have a space, then it should be on both sides. So this is the kind of thing. A lot of Sanskrit spelling errors. According to Narayan Srinivas Prabhu, it's done according to some ISO, international standards or something, but it butchers the Sanskrit language by, for instance, leaving out the H in Vaikuntha or the H in Vallabha. Maybe even worse is that it's inconsistent. Sometimes the H is included and sometimes not. And then there are, when diacritic marks are put, there are lots of mistakes in that. Mushtika in one place is with the wrong S. Vidyabhushan is misspelled throughout. So these are very basic things. Radha is misspelled in at least one place. These are very basic things which show that the book is not ready for publication. And it's not that it's beyond the ability of the author to correct that himself. That's or at least a proofreader should catch those things. There's some laziness is there in not wanting to do the work required to get a book up to the proper standard. As I heard from Jayadvaita Swami, who no doubt got it from someone else, writing is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. We have to take the perspiration to make it, the hard work to make it proper. So there are several things that I saw. There's something interesting. Oh, interesting for me. I'll just make a note of that. There's nothing to do with what. Okay. Yeah, all kinds of problems here. For instance, yeah, sometimes quotations are put within double apostrophes. I'm not even sure if that's the right word. Just like here on page 36. Quotation mark with double apostrophes. Who keeps the balance by the law of magnetism? Who closes it with double apostrophes? Two lines later, the bow of Krishna named Shanga. And then there's single apostrophes around the word Shanga. So that should be standardized. Generally better to have the double apostrophes because... Oh, even in the very next line, who keeps the balance by the law of magnetism, and in the very next sentence, the law of gravitation, their quote is quoted, put in quotation marks with single apostrophes. Now, what is something? I just noted when I opened the file, right at the end, control end. Oh, Tapan Mishra. Mishra is given with the wrongly diacriticized S. Oh, there was something I saw. Karabhajana Muni. Muni should be capital M. What was that thing about the singers and dancers? What they called the Ayah? Oh, yeah. Where does that come? Which page?
In my preface. After foreword.
After the foreword. Here's the foreword. And in the preface. Right, in the preface, page 5 of the PDF. I prefer the serial comma. It seems to make a lot more sense to me than July, comma, August, comma should be, and December. I still carry three. Yeah, the serial comma, just like, I still carry sweet memories of the festival celebrated in the months of July, August, and December. Then August and December without a serial comma seems to be like one unit or one entity. All right, so here in the first paragraph, I was particularly fascinated with the Araya Sevai. Araya Sevai is both within quotation marks and italicized. Which is a basic mistake there. Then, after that comes, within parentheses, Arayas are males, M-, trained generation after generation to sing and dance enacting the pastimes of the Lord. And then there's a footnote which goes with that. It says, the Araya recites songs from the Nalayira Divya Prabandham, accompanied by gesturing. So there's both a parenthesis and a footnote to explain what an Araya is. It should be one or the other. In a footnote, it's not even clear that it's a definition. Here I'm looking at footnote 4 on page 5. See transcendental ecstasy and mellow. No full stop. That would be better. See the chapter, quotation mark, transcendental ecstasy and mellow, full stop, quotation mark. Oh, no. And they should also put mellow, comma, quotation mark, page XXX, so that it can be easily accessed. Just so many things. Now, in one place, you wrote that my father... here it is, right here on page 5 also. Having learned from my father about the 473 songs rendered by Periyalava on Kannan, Tamil equivalent for Krishna, when I read and heard the songs, I was captivated by the different rasas exhibited by Periyalava. This is a, without any further background information, this is a non sequitur. The conclusion doesn't follow from the premise. The fact that you learned from your father, you learned about the songs, doesn't necessarily mean that when you read and heard them, you became captivated by them. Maybe if you had maybe your father, he instilled in you some mystic seed which was to become fructified when you read and heard the songs. But the fact that you heard about them from your father doesn't, it's not obvious why that should result in your becoming captivated by the different rasas when you read and heard them. So there's another problem. And another thing I saw was twice stated International Society for Krishna Consciousness, parenthesis, ISKCON. Once is enough. A glossary is required, by the way. Yeah, also in that, also in both cases where ISKCON was there within the parenthesis, it was bold for no reason. And right at the beginning of the actual text, where does that come? There's their introductory section, Transcendental Ecstasy and Mellow, Arlavas, we're going down. All right, so this is at the beginning of the actual text, page 16. Your divine, beautiful divine body is bluish black in color and is of the quality of the Manikanam stone, which means a ruby. Yeah, so it could just be stated ruby. It's supposed to be a translation. Later on it's described, but why not just put ruby? Is of the quality of the Manikanam stone and the divine shower, well, or the one, yeah. Yes, insert commas already there. What else? There are quite a few things. But anyway, you're getting the idea. There is some more serious problem here. Prominent. Oh yeah, the footnotes where you're putting about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, may not be necessary to put in footnotes. Some biographical information could be in a glossary. That's the kind of thing that editors who really get into the nitty-gritty, they discuss with the with the author. They can make a suggestion. The point is that the fact that here there's a footnote on page 27 giving a short biographical information on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's really tangential to the text. Plus, many of the readers, ISKCON devotees, will already know who he is. Here also it said, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, blah, 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 blah. He is credited along with his son, Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati. Saraswati is spelt with a W and no. And Srila is with diacritical marks, Bhaktisthan isn't, and Saraswati isn't. Although Saraswati is with a W. In Indian languages, there's no W sound. W and V are often interchanged, where wrongly interchanged. It's pronounced as a V, Sarasvati. If I was to read that as a native English speaker, I would read Saraswati. So I'm looking for this something where it says Srila Prabhupada is a prominent.
It's in the preface.
Prominent Acharya. Oops, what did it say about him, Srila Prabhupada? It comes
it's
towards.
In the preface.
In the preface.
Oh, no, not in the preface. It is about the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There it comes.
Well, can you think of any key words to find that?
Yeah, it is Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is the title.
Yeah, but I can't find that here.
Okay.
Very easily.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also.
Yeah, but all right, let's try Chaitanya.
From Ramanujacharya, he took.
All right, he took four principles, wasn't it?
He took four principles. Yes.
That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
Took four principles. So let's look up four principles.
After that, Srila Prabhupada name comes.
Oops, four principles. Doesn't appear there. Let's try Nimbarka. Ooh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this page 8, gave his most sublime philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the inconceivable oneness and difference. The word the, see, none of the editors picked up the word the. It looks like an N dash in between tattva and the word the. Should be an M dash. Let's go down a little bit. Here's the word on the end of page 9, Radha, with only the first A, given as a long A. Oh, here we are, just at the beginning of page, it still says page 9. Oh, that's, huh? Funny. Anyway, here it says, it shows a page break here, but this shows the beginning of page 9.
Okay.
And if I go here, it's still page 9 on the previous page. So it's going to be difficult for anyone who's following this Mataji to find out. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada has been accepted as a powerful modern-day teacher of Krishna consciousness and a true representative of the Gaudiya tradition in every way. There's a lot of problems with this. First of all, who accepted him? He is, Srila Prabhupada is or was a powerful, not just a powerful, but he's the overarching, singular, unparalleled preacher of Krishna consciousness, not just a powerful teacher. It's like saying that the Prime Minister, he's an important politician in India. He's not. Then he is the number one. He's on top of the pile of all the politicians. So, there's a problem there. Anyway, there are so many things. I can't remember them all now, but you get the idea that it needs a lot of work. Oh, here we are. Yeah, just before that. Worship of Krishna and high esteem for their pure love of Krishna from Nimbarka Acharya. That should be from Nimbarka Acharya, colon, otherwise worship of Radha and Krishna. It makes the pure love of Krishna from Nimbarka Acharya. The gopis got their pure love of Krishna from Nimbarka Acharya. Again, none of the editors picked that up. So, yeah, a lot of things to be. Practically every line there are things. I maybe that's an exaggeration, but it needs a lot of work. Now, you may even think that, well, it's understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got from Nimbarka Acharya the principle of the worship of Krishna and high esteem for the gopis for their pure love of Krishna. Nimbarka Acharya is also diacritically misspelled. You might think that, well, what does it matter? Everyone can understand what I mean, but not necessarily. There may be readers who don't know that. And also, even you make the reader do some work. It's already enough work to try to understand what you're saying without having to decipher it in their minds. That you're reading things and say, oh, this is what he means. He doesn't really mean that, he means something else. Clarity. Everything should be as clear as possible. There was also, I believe I heard it from Umapati Swami quoting one of the great writers of the 20th century, whose name I don't remember, that one who was converted to a Catholic, wrote the Screwtape Letters. What's his name? Chesterton? Something like that. He said that if something can be misunderstood, it will be misunderstood. He's talking about writing. And he's, I can't remember exactly the analogy, probably Mataji knows, that unless, it's like sheep, and if you don't keep them in order, they'll go out of order. So people's thoughts are like that. When you're herding sheep, you have to keep them going in the right way, otherwise people's thoughts, they'll go off in another way. I recently heard a saying, herding cats. Trying to herd cats. Is it possible? No. So, Hare Krishna, there's some things. So Mataji can kindly consider whether she wants to take this up. Considering the depth of editing that I'm thinking of, and I would say even before sending it, you should get it in order with the diacritical marks and sort out what's this ISO thing where basically the words are misspelt, M dashes with space, all this kind of thing should be sorted out even before you send it. Hare Krishna.
It's not because of laziness. It has gone at least 10, 15.
You're saying it's not because of laziness, but it's gone back and forth between so many others. Well, someone, it's either laziness or gross incompetence. Put it one way or the other.
It could be incompetence.
Yeah, but again, if you're going to, same thing, if you're going to cook for 1,000 people, you better be competent before you do it. So if you're going to write for thousands of people, you're good. Planning on printing at least 1,000 copies.
Yes,
there should be some level of competence.
On corrections, this book has undergone, I've gone through front and back for 3 years, Maharaj, on corrections alone.
I can't, but it's difficult to believe you've gone 3 years back and forth with corrections and still you have so many basic errors. Errors will always be there, but okay. That's the end of that little session.
One more question. Without diacritic marks, it's not correct to write the book.
You mean just leave them all out? Diacritical marks?
Yeah.
Not a good idea, as it's a translation from it's you're dealing with a poet on a higher level of scholarship,
yes.
And you're quoting Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada, so there's some level of you can't even pronounce it properly without the diacritical marks. Plus Srila Prabhupada wanted them. It would be easy just to leave them out.
I thought, that way at least mistakes can be reduced.
Just make the whole thing a mistake. Then no one will notice it.